Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to NBA Clutch Time with your host, Brandon Burrows, a.k.a. Yasha the Beast. And you know, the season is over. But nonetheless, there's an overview that I got to talk about, so I'm going to talk about it, and you know exactly where this is going, so we're going to get right into it. So, the season is over. Lakers are the 2020 champions. LeBron James, the finals MVP. First person to get three finals MVPs with three different teams. LeBron James, congratulations to your king. Congratulations to LeBron. I'm not going to go into how I felt when the season, you know, first ended because of Corona. I'm not going to go into how I felt about the bubble starting. I'm not going to go how I felt with a lot of players that were missing out from the return. What I am going to say is there's this guy. You've all heard of this guy, right? This guy is a four-time NBA champion. This guy is a three-time finals MVP. He three-peated. He is a Hall of Fame member. He's known as the most dominant player of all time. And he goes by the name Shaquille O'Neal. So Shaq said, when this all first started, that he didn't feel like this bubble thing should happen. He didn't feel like the league should resume play. Because whoever was going to win, and he said this, whoever's going to win, it's going to have an asterisk next to it. There are players who didn't come to the bubble that are more important to teams than, you know, other players are to other teams. Some teams did not come back at full strength. Some teams, you know, they missed out on practices. Some teams had players who were trying to, you know, mentally recover from having COVID. Or at least some of their players having COVID. Some teams just weren't ready to leave their families in the state of an emergency going all throughout the world. I don't blame Shaquille O'Neal for saying that, because Shaquille O'Neal has always had the stance of, if something happens to an NBA season, if it's cut short for any reason, if something ends up missing in that season, then that ring should not count. He said it when LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Miami Heat won in 2012. He said it when Tim Duncan and David Robinson and those Spurs won in the 99 season. He is somebody who has stayed solid to his views. He never switched up. And I got to give Shaquille O'Neal credit for that. Although he loves LeBron James and he loves the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm a huge Lakers fan. I think we all know that. I think anybody who's ever read any of my articles know that. It's not exciting. There were a lot of things missing, you know. But you got to take it for what it is, right? Like, that's, you know, that's one of the things where it's just like you got to take things for what they are. Now, I'm going to go into my overview of the season. Season starts off, it's a very competitive NBA season, you know, for some teams more than others, but some teams are making an incredible bounce back. I think, you know, Clippers was, you know, one of those teams where it's just like they didn't fully find their chemistry. Granted, they barely ever lost with having Kawhi Leonard and Paul George in the same lineup as, you know, or on the floor with, you know, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell. And that's fine. You know, that's great and all. But, you know, there were certain times where it just felt like the Clippers had identity issues. And that's something that, you know, has to be assessed. Portland, you know, Portland was an injured team this season. It wasn't all injuries, of course. You know, Nurkic was injured. You know, Damian Lillard was, you know, coming back from, you know, what had happened to him last year, which, I mean, that wasn't, you know, it was something to just bounce back from, of course. It wasn't like it was a career-threatening injury, but, you know, this was something that he was going to have to bounce back from the playoffs. Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks, they looked great. Chris Paul and the Oklahoma City Thunder looked great. The Rockets were an underachieving team for me. The Lakers look like they never had any identity issues because they had a player that was there before they started adding in more pieces this year, such as Dwight Howard, such as JaVale McGee and Morris, and, you know, some of these other players that are role players and, you know, used to be stars. You know, the Lakers already knew what it was. As for, you know, the Clippers, they didn't have a superstar player before adding in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So I felt like they kind of had identity issues of like, okay, we got them both. You know, we know that they can both go off. We know that they can both play D, but it's just like, which one of these guys do we rally around? You know, I didn't feel like it was established that Kawhi is the guy that you rally around. You know, his first year going to Toronto, that was established. The Spurs, prior to his injury, had already established that. The Clippers just seemed like they just... Doc Rivers seems like he had issues as a coach with picking a leader of, like, you know, for his team. You know, it just, I've never liked Doc Rivers as a coach in terms of leadership. Like, Doc Rivers, he never knew how to adjust correctly. He never was good with selecting a leader. You know, he's just like, oh, you know, we don't have to talk about it. Let's just go out there and win. And, like, that's stupid as a coach. You feel me? As a coach, you got to establish things. You have to be firm. You have to be direct. And Doc Rivers just isn't that guy. You know, I felt like the only time that something like that was established was back when he was the coach of Orlando, back when they had Tracy McGrady. And the only reason why that felt like it was something that was established was because Grant Hill was injured. I feel like if Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady were both healthy on that roster, it would have been the same thing, you know, like the whole Chris Paul, Blake Griffin thing. It was just like the team was, they didn't know who to rally around. and Doc never established that. So, you know, I hope Ty Lue does a better job of that. And now we get into narratives. You guys know Kawhi Leonard has never told anybody, like, you know, out in the media, I'm the best player in the world now, right? Like, he's done, like, the Lil' King commercials and this Kawhi town and all this other stuff, but Like, have you heard from his mouth? Not from any marketing, not from any, you know, commercials and lies. Have you ever heard from Kawhi say, you know, I'm the best. I'm the guy to beat. I'm the most well-rounded player. I'm the two-way guy. Like, you've never heard him say any of that. Right? And then, like, people are saying, oh, why aren't you guys putting Kawhi under as much heat as you put LeBron under? And I'm just like, that's stupid. Like, why would we? Because the simple fact of the matter is, you know, when a lot of the top 10 rankings of the year came out, you know, Kawhi was not even in a lot of people's top five. You feel me? LeBron James was in everybody's top five. Kawhi Leonard barely made top five for some lists. You know, you had LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Luka Doncic and James Harden. Like, it was like, usually, like, whenever Kawhi did fit in there, he was number five. But, you know, other than that, like, he didn't make a lot of lists of top fives in the league. Do I think, personally, he was a top five in the league? Easily, yes. But most people did not put him in their top five. And also, with that being said, I think something else is that Kawhi Leonard has never shoved down our throats how good of a player he is, or the things that he can do, or, you know, what his abilities are. You know, he's never done any of that. So it's just like, you know, if I'm looking at a guy who doesn't sit back and boast his talents and, you know, talk about himself, why would I hold him up to the same standard as a guy who does do that? You feel me? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, if you put yourself on a higher pedestal, then I'm going to expect you to live up to that. However, if you're not one of those guys putting your foot in your mouth, then no, I'm not going to. Like, James Harden, for example, right? Like, because everybody's going to try and listen to this and say, oh, you're making this about LeBron. I'm going to use James Harden as an example. James Harden was somebody who came out and was talking about how he's never missed the playoffs. And he was just like, you know, I've never missed the playoffs once in my career. Do you know how many guys can't say that? Like, Kobe can't say that. Shaq can't say that. Jordan can't say that. Like, Kevin Durant can't say that. Like, there's nobody, you know, that's almost nobody that's better than me that can say I have never missed the playoffs. Right, that came from James, or that, yeah, like, that came from James Harden. So it's just like, you know, you're boasting about your achievements and your accomplishments and this, that, and the third. Well, show me something. Show me something to make up for it. Like, show me that achievement, that accomplishment is not in vain. Prove it to me. It's that simple. So, like I said, this is, here's the thing. Giannis gets bounced by Miami in the playoffs, and the only game that the Bucks win is the game where Giannis only plays the first quarter, gets injured, and can't play the rest of the game. That's the game that they win. Every game that he played, the full game, they lost. The game that he doesn't play the full game and he only plays the first quarter, they win. They win when he's off the floor. Yet still, the narrative was, oh, Giannis needs better players around him. Giannis needs a better team. Giannis should leave and go somewhere else. Giannis should blah, 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 blah. It was Giannis didn't have enough help, right? Forget playing bad. When Giannis didn't play, they won. That's weird to me. And I'm not saying Giannis is a problem, but I'm saying that narrative. Now, let's compare that to the Kawhi Leonard narrative of the Clippers when they lost to Denver. When they lost to Denver, the narrative wasn't, oh, Kawhi needs better players around him and this, that, and the third. No, the narrative was Kawhi Leonard's not that great of a leader. Kawhi Leonard's overrated. Kawhi Leonard's this, this, and this. That's not fair. Because Kawhi had one bad game, and that was the game 7. Every other game, he played anywhere from good to pretty damn great. And the last two games that he played pretty damn great, they still lost. Yet the narrative is not, oh, Kawhi, you know, the Clippers need to build around Kawhi better. It wasn't that, like how it was for Giannis, whose team won when he was off the floor. It was, oh, Kawhi Leonard's not that great of a leader. Kawhi Leonard's not an MVP. Giannis just won back-to-back MVPs. And didn't make the finals in either one of the years. But the narrative is he needs a better team around him. Yet Kawhi Leonard, who's never won an MVP, excluding the finals MVP, and has primarily won finals MVPs and championships because of his defense and his ability to lock down the best players on the floor. Right? Like, you guys found every single way to blame that on Kawhi that they lost. Oh, how come he didn't guard Jamal Murray? Well, because he went out there and guarded Nikola Jokic, because Jokic was going off half of that series, remember? It was Jokic and Murray that was going off. And then the one game where they started slow Murray down, Jokic was just like, don't worry, bro, I got this. So Kawhi was like, okay, I got to stop somebody. And he's the guy that went off last game. I got to lock down on him. Okay, I got him. But then you guys say, oh, well, how come he didn't lock down Murray? Well, I think the better question is, why didn't Paul George and Patrick Beverley lock down Murray? Because he surely locked down Nikola Jokic. He surely put the clamps on Jokic. Jokic shot 5 for 13 that game. He did his job against the best player on the team. He did his job. He went up, guarded the center, despite the fact that he's a small forward. He guarded the center for the primarily, you know, the better number of possessions in that game that they both were on the floor. He guarded the best player on the team, and he made sure that he could not be that impactful guy that he usually is. Kawhi Leonard does that. How is he going to guard Jokic and Murray at the same time? Right? Like, Kawhi, granted, Kawhi offensively was bad. He was bad. But the motherfucker didn't have anything left in the tank. So why is the narrative, oh, well, Kawhi didn't do this, and Kawhi's not a great leader, and Kawhi's not a locker room guy. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, right? Because then they backpedaled and said, oh, well, Kyle Lowry was the leader of the Toronto Raptors. Kawhi Leonard can only lead with his game. He can't lead in the locker room and talk with his guys and this, that, and the third. Okay, well, let me ask you something. Why is it that when Kawhi Leonard left the games in Toronto to go sit on the bench for a couple of minutes in the playoffs, especially against the 76ers, they had the worst net rating in playoff history for Toronto. Even when Kyle Lowry was on the floor, every single time Kawhi Leonard went to the bench, they couldn't do a damn thing. Can somebody, anybody tell me why? Because there's not a logical excuse for it, except for Kawhi Leonard was a leader of a good team. Not saying, in all honesty, I don't think he was. There's a difference between being a leader and a captain. Shaq was primarily the captain of the Lakers. But let's be real, Kobe Bryant, more often than not, led them boys to where they needed to be, especially in the playoffs. Kobe Bryant brought the intensity. Kobe Bryant showed them how to rally on defense. Shaq was the most dominant player on that team. We all know that. Them early years, Shaq was the better player on the team. We all know that. Shaq was the captain of the team. We know that. Then eventually it was a co-captain type of situation. But still, we know that. But for the life of me, somebody please tell me if Kawhi Leonard is not a leader, why didn't the Toronto Raptors go back to the finals? Right, they got beat by another team with no leader. You think being a locker room guy is more impressive than going out there and leading by example? Well, you know what? You can have that. That ain't what I'm mad at. And I'll never debate that. And I'll never argue that. And you know what? Like, there's no point in me trying to argue it, because that's just not what it is. Like, if you need somebody to sit back and talk you up and give you this little pep rally of, all right, guys, let's go out there and win it. You know who should be doing that? The goddamn coach. But guess who decided not to do it? Game 7, before the game started. Who said he wasn't going to do it? Who said that was overrated? Doc goddamn Rivers. Not Kawhi Leonard. Doc Rivers. So call a spade a goddamn spade. It was Doc Rivers who said that was overrated. Doc Rivers said he wasn't going to do it. Doc Rivers didn't deserve to keep his coaching job. Cool? So stop blaming Kawhi for every goddamn thing that went wrong in that series when Kawhi went on to the best player of that team and Kawhi locked him up. Kawhi made him shoot 5 for 13. Kawhi made sure that he was not as much as an offensive threat as he usually is. Jamal Murray went out there and said, cool, I got this. And Paul George and Patrick Beverley didn't do a goddamn thing about it. Doc Rivers made no defensive adjustments whatsoever. But don't sit back and blame Kawhi, because Nikola Jokic did nothing that he needed to do in order to win that game. Jamal Murray did. Okay? So that's me flushing out narrative number one. Let's get that shit the hell out of here. Narrative number two. I've been seeing people post up this possibly was LeBron James's hardest championship ever. Avery Bradley wasn't there. The Lakers didn't want to play. They voted not to play. Hardest championship ever? This was arguably their easiest. They didn't have to go against Dallas in the first round. They didn't have to go against Clippers in the second round or the third round. Like, the two teams, granted, I'll give them Denver. Like, they did great against Denver. They did everything the Clippers should have did, but the difference is the Lakers are bigger. They bullied the Denver Nuggets, just like they should have. But Denver was the only legit team that they beat in the playoffs. Houston was partially injured and had no seven-footers. As a matter of fact, had nobody above the height of 6'8". Their center was the height of LeBron James. As a matter of fact, I think their center actually might have been an inch shorter than LeBron James. He's listed at 6'9". So, no, technically, I think LeBron James might have been an inch taller than their center. Did I mention that Russell Westbrook was coming back from injury? Or I'll say being on the injury reserve list, I'll say. Let me correct myself. Right. Then on top of that, their first round was against a losing team in the Portland Trail Blazers. Like, I don't know how LeBron does it, bro. He's the luckiest guy in the world. Like, granted, his basketball ability is amazing. Amazing. And if anybody ever says that LeBron James does not have a massive amount of ability, they're stupid. Cannot hate on the guy's talent. But he's the luckiest guy in NBA history, dude. Like, again, he faces a losing team in the first round of the playoffs. How? Like, prior to this year, there hasn't been a losing team that made the playoffs in the West since, like, I can't remember what year. I think it was probably, like, 98. But, like, for damn near, like, 20-something years almost, there's been no losing teams making it to the playoffs in the West. Then LeBron James comes to the West, gets playoff bound, and boom, he faces a losing team. Like, what the hell is this? Like, he's already faced the most in NBA history. Then he comes to the tougher conference, and he faces one again. How the hell does that work? Like, granted, I'm not complaining about it. I know it sounds like I'm complaining about it. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying, yo, do you know how much luck you have on your side for that? It's like the first time in like 25 years a team in the West ends up having a losing record and they just so happen to face LeBron James. What the hell? Like, this already happened enough times in the East. But then we get to the finals. Bam Adebayo is injured. Goran Dragic is injured. Tyler Herro and Duncan Robinson are rookies and extremely young playing in the NBA Finals. Tyler Herro, youngest NBA starter in finals history. Jimmy Butler goes out there and he plays his heart out and he gives us every ounce of everything that he has left for that series. And in game six, he's just worn out. He has nothing left. I mean, he had a 35-point triple-double, a 40-point triple-double in the same series. Like, he went out there and he gave us all that he possibly could have, man. Like, there's no way that that series should have even went six games. It was Anthony Davis and LeBron James, two top five players, going against Jimmy Butler, who didn't even make top 15 this year. Now, I will say shame on Eric Spoelstra for not playing Kelly Olynyk the way how he should have those last, you know, the last game. Game and a half. Shame on Eric Spoelstra for not doing that. And the reason why I say that is because Kelly Olynyk went out there and he stretched that floor out. He was shooting. He was playing aggressive, you know, when they needed him to be in the paint, especially on defense. He wasn't afraid to check Anthony Davis, especially knowing that Anthony Davis is not aggressive down low. And he likes coming outside of the paint when he has the ball in his hands. Kelly Olynyk should have been playing center the whole entire series. Bam Adebayo, for the games that he did actually play, should have been playing power forward. That way, Dwight Howard kind of gets taken out as a threat. Kelly Olynyk's not afraid to bang with people. And Dwight Howard cannot guard shooters. And Kelly Olynyk can shoot for a big man. So he would have a hell of a tough time guarding Kelly Olynyk. But, like, this ain't life, man. Like, you can't look at going against a losing team in the first round, going against an injured team in the second round, especially a team full of NBA midgets. A solid third round. Solid third round. And then an injured team in the finals and say, oh my God, this was an amazing postseason run. How? How? Because remember, you guys discredited the Warriors in 2015 for beating an injured Cavs team. Remember that. You guys discounted the Warriors for being an injured Cavs team. Well, this Lakers squad, you know, they beat two injured teams. And a losing team. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about that? Or let me guess, you don't want to talk about that, right? Because of narratives. And nobody likes admitting that their narratives are wrong. Their narratives are very one-sided. Their narratives refuses to give benefit of the doubt. I'll never say that LeBron James didn't deserve to win Finals MVP. I won't say LeBron James didn't deserve a championship. With the way that he played, yes, he deserved it. Like, absolutely. But what you're not gonna do is sit back and say that this was the hardest that he had to go through. Nah, like, not at all. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Next narrative that we're going to address is this whole Steve Kerr thing. You know, talking about how, you know, he had no business getting a coaching job and all this other stuff. He has no experience as a coach. You know, I find that to be absolute bullshit. Right, because people are literally out here saying, oh, well, you know, how come a black man didn't get the job? And this, that, and the third. Listen, all power to my brothers who are making the most of their opportunities with coaching in the NBA. But we're not about to sit back and act like the NBA is a racist organization when they're supporting the Black Lives Matter movement. We're not about to sit back and make it seem like the NBA is a racist organization when they did everything possible to get Donald Sterling out of power and out of ownership in the NBA. We're not about to make it seem like the NBA is a racist organization when 90% of NBA players are black. We're not about to sit back and make it seem like the NBA is a racist organization when they give these players a platform to speak on social injustices and have been doing so ever since the Trayvon Martin incident. Wearing shirts saying, I can't breathe, and so on and so forth. We're not going to make it seem like the NBA has something against black people simply because Steve Nash got a head coaching position while having no prior head coaching experience. Because in case we forgot, Doc Rivers also had a head coaching position while not having any head coaching experience as well. In case y'all forgot, Magic Johnson, Isaiah Thomas, there have definitely been some black men who have had positions of power in the NBA or on NBA teams, or even if you don't want to use the word power, we can use the word leadership, while having or lacking, I'm sorry, lacking the experience before getting that first position. I'm sorry, anybody who refuses to acknowledge that, you're a fool. You are an absolute fool. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you can't acknowledge that, you ain't qualified to talk about it. It's that simple. It is that simple. Steve Nash ain't ever do nothing to nobody. Steve Nash definitely ain't do nothing to Stephen A. Smith. Yes, still Stephen A. Smith keeps on ranting on about Steve Nash having a head coaching position for the first time in you know, in his career, while not having any coaching experience. Well, how come you didn't have that rant when Isaiah Thomas became coach of the Indiana Pacers in 2001, right after they got eliminated out of the NBA Finals? Why didn't you talk about that, Mr. Smith? Why didn't you talk about Magic Johnson becoming a head coach for the Lakers, even though he didn't keep the position? You know, realizing like, hey, you know, maybe this just ain't what I should be doing. So he ended up not keeping his position. That don't take away the fact that he got it in the first place. Why didn't you talk about that, Stephen A. Smith? Why didn't you talk about Doc Rivers getting a head coaching position in Orlando, despite the fact that prior to that, he had no head coaching experience? Why didn't you talk about that, Stephen A.? Can you name white coaches that have been put in those positions? Yes, you can, but you for damn sure can name some black ones too. And in case I'm, you know, mistaken, anybody can please feel free to enlighten me. Wasn't Steve Nash like the offensive coach for the Golden State Warriors last couple years? Could have sworn that was Steve Nash, right? So maybe he was not in a head coaching position. But the fact of the matter is, he was definitely a part of a coaching staff for the last couple of years. And he was definitely on a coaching staff for a championship team the last couple of years. Of course, he wasn't on Toronto, but he was on Golden State, where they had Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. Let me name two of those people again. Kevin Durant and Steph Curry, two of the best offensive players who have ever graced this planet, saying that they learned things from Steve Nash. So talk about that in your fucking rants. Instead of sitting back trying to put him down because it's the first time that he's become a head coach. Stop acting like he wasn't on a damn coaching staff not one time in his fucking career. Stop the fucking bullshit. He don't deserve that. You want to talk about white supremacy and all this other shit? You feel free to. But don't make Steve Nash an example when he ain't do shit to nobody. He has been on our squad, on our team, on our side, advocating for black people all this time. And all you doing is give him your ass to kiss for what, you fucking hater? For what? Oh, I'm so sorry about that. I'm sorry about that. I had to let that out, though. Because that was the most bullshit narrative of them all. Most bullshit narrative of them all. Like, Stephen A. ought to get locked away for that bullshit. Horse shit. Pig shit. It's some type of shit. Don't know what kind of shit it is, but it's some shit. He ain't gonna make it seem like it don't stink. Anyways, there has to be a time where people acknowledge. Okay, you don't have to like greatness. You don't have to like it. Hell, to be honest, you don't have to respect it. But you're gonna acknowledge it one way or another. And you have to acknowledge the fact that you do. You have to. But let me get to the biggest narrative of them all. That this ring puts LeBron James over Michael Jordan. Anybody who has said that, anybody who believes that, anybody who embraces that, hell, anybody who thinks that, I need you to never talk about basketball again. I need you to take every basketball that is in your house and deflate that. I need you to literally erase basketball from your memory. When you see a basketball court, I need you to not know what the hell it is. Don't go near it. Don't watch anybody play it. LeBron James is an all-time great. He is the greatest person or the greatest player of his era. He has done things that, you know, we're probably not going to see for a long, long time. Everybody's like, oh, you know, nobody's going to break LeBron's records. Well, can we really say that? Like, for real? Because, I mean, let's be real, right? Like, nobody ever thought, you know, anybody would come close to getting Wilt Chamberlain's scoring record. Yet, here we are, where give LeBron 3 more years of averaging 25 points per game, he's probably going to break that record. Nobody ever thought that, you know, somebody was going to have, you know, accomplished a 3 finals MVP on 3 different teams. But yet still, here we are. It's called being a human being, but it's also called being great. And if you think that greatness in history doesn't at times repeat itself and can be better, you're sadly mistaken, because we're seeing it right in front of our eyes. So let's kind of slow down on this whole, this will never happen again, this will never happen again, because how many times has somebody said, this will never happen again, and it's happened? Right? It's time to start acknowledging that this might happen again, but it's probably going to be a while before it happens again. And if somebody was to say that, oh yeah, you know, they're 100,000% right. Like, you remember how they said, oh, you know, there's never going to be another Larry Bird. Everybody's too athletic. Everybody's too fast. Yet here we are with Luka Doncic. I'm done with the never narratives. I'm done with the never again narratives. It's been disproven too many times. All it takes is the right person to show that it can happen. The Denver Nuggets recently tweeted something and said, who is your favorite all-time Nugget? And the picture featured Alex English, Nick Van Exel, Chauncey Billups, Nikola Jokic, I am forgetting somebody. And I'm upset at myself for forgetting who that fourth person was. I forgot who they had at power forward. Oh, I'm sorry, at center. They had Dikembe Mutombo. So they had Mutombo, Jokic, Alex English, Nick Van Exel, and Chauncey Billups. Is there a specific name that's missing there? Anybody remember who Carmelo Anthony is? I do. I remember who that is. Yeah, apparently the Denver Nuggets have amnesia, dementia, something with an at the end. But they certainly forgot who Carmelo is somehow. So the Portland Trail Blazers took to Twitter, and they made their who's your favorite Blazer of all time, which featured Brandon Roy. I believe I saw LaMarcus Aldridge on there. Damian Lillard. Clyde Drexler. And you guessed it, the fifth person was Carmelo Anthony. So don't worry, Carmelo. If the team that you did the most for won't give you love, we will. So needless to say, I definitely think Carmelo Anthony is going to be re-signing with the Portland Trail Blazers, because that, ladies and gentlemen, is love. That is representation. That is love. And all Carmelo wanted was a team to love him, for a team to believe in him. And Portland showed that they are that team. So let's see Carmelo in Portland part two, please. Let him get a couple more shots in, though. I think Portland will be a better team if they let Carmelo Anthony get a couple more shots per game. And make sure that they make Whiteside a happy man. Start giving that man some lobs. You'll see the best version of the Whiteside if you start giving him some lobs. At any rate, there's been a lot going on in the NBA. And I definitely think that for what it's worth, I think that next year just might be the most exciting year that we've seen in the NBA for the last decade. I think it might be the most exciting. You got KD and Kyrie that's going to be healthy. You got Steph and Klay coming back as the Splash Brothers without KD. Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, and whoever the Clippers decide to keep. Luka Doncic and Chris Porzingis are going to be back. CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard. I think Utah needs to do something about that team and just, like, build it around Donovan Mitchell. And I think he's earned the right to say, look, you need to build this team around me. He's earned the right to say that, and I think he needs to say that, and I think he needs to say that except. But at any rate, yeah, these are just a couple of things that I think needs to, what I think is going to happen next year is going to be nothing short of amazing competition, and we are not going to see something like this for another, 6-7 years probably. This is going to go back to, 2000s competition. And to me, the 2000s was the most competitive era in the history of the NBA. So with that being said, it gives me something to look forward to. And I hope this narrative that I created gives you guys something to look forward to. But I will, keep my eyes and ears open for more news, more narratives, more, announcements. And I will give you guys everything that I got. And I will be speaking with you guys soon. So until the next episode, everybody stay safe, stay calm, stay humble. And, just make sure that tomorrow's a better day than today was. Y'all have a great night.